It's really an honor and a privilege for me to honor the legacy that I come from. And I want you to also think about yours and whether you have or not. I just want to bring mine before you and show you, and through it honor a Christian legacy that runs through a family. And it's interesting how my wife and I, we spoke about this, just how much our families have certain things that other families don't have, good things. I think this year, if I'm right, my parents and Villa's parents are both married 41 years. It's how many people can say that their parents have been married for 41 years? We know out there what it looks like. And we have a legacy of that. We have a legacy of being married for 41 years. And if I look back at my family, I can say honestly that God was always a part of our family. It's as if there's a scripture in Deuteronomy where it says that you must instill these things in your children. You must talk about these things when you walk and when you sit and when you lie down, and wherever you go, you speak about the Lord. And I can say that in my family, God was always a part. Whether it be praying before every meal, whether it be reading the Kinder Bible before we go to sleep, God was always a part. And if I think back about my father, who's also here this morning, there's two things that I can always remember of him. And the one is his love for rugby. And the other one was going to church. Rain or shine, my father would go to church. And he wouldn't drive there, he would walk there. And of course, the three little Franz Skalfex brothers would go with. And we would walk to church. And from a very young age, I heard about God. I've always, from very, very young, since I could understand, I heard about God. And on the other side, on my wife's side, the same is true as well. There, God has always also been part. And I must say, meeting my wife and becoming part of their family, it was like stepping into my family. Because God was a part there as well. And Villa dug out a little card, a birthday card. And this is now her grandmother in 1997. Her grandmother, I think it's my mother-in-law's mother, if I'm right, wrote this. I think every year she wrote a letter. And I just want to read a little part out of it just to show you the legacy that we are part of. And it's in Afrikaans. Jy verjaar mos Saterdag. Dan is jy al 15. Ek kan dit nie glo nie. Baie geluk hoor. Ek sal spesiaal vir jou bid. Dit is vir my so wonderlik dat jy 'n kind van die Here is en nie skaam is om uit te kom vir jou beginsels nie. Dit is vandag nie maklik om die reguit pad te stap nie, veral nie vir julle jong mense nie. Eendag lank gelede, op my verjaarsdag, het ek op die teks in die Bybel afgekom. Met my God by my kan ek die pad aanhou loop en die lewenslig bly sien. En vanmôre het ek gelees, want die gees wat God ons gee, het maak ons immers nie lafhartig nie, maar vul ons met liefde en krag en selfbeheersing. Is dit nie wonderlik nie? And there's a grandmother writing to her granddaughter, praying for her, and giving her scripture. And yes, it's not being part of the family that saves you, but being part of a family that knows God gives you a head start. Both of us, me and my wife, have known the Lord for a very long time. And this morning, I just honor my parents and her parents because it's due. I didn't get to know the Lord at 20 or 30, but at 10. And I just honor them because I feel that it's due to them, a legacy that they are passing on and that I will be passing on to my children. That I know the Lord because they put me in contact with Him. They create the environment for us to learn about Him. And once you get to know Him, you get to learn more and more about Him. You meet Him, you see Him, you read about Him, because your parents and your grandparents do the same. And they model it. They pray for you. And going through all this honoring of my legacy, I realized that actually in church we can have the same. It doesn't just have to be that in physical families that we have this passing on of legacy. But we can actually, as believers, walk into a place where we can pass on legacy to one another. Where in the church we can have a father-son relationship. Where someone can be your spiritual father and you can be their spiritual son. And just like my parents creating an environment for me to get the Lord, to know the Lord better and showing me these things, we can do the same in church. And this morning, I want to encourage us to start living a life of legacy. Living a life where we as fellow believers start passing on the legacy, God's legacy to one another. And you can ask me, okay, so how do we do that? Because I know there's people that like to have, okay, what do we do now? And I want to illustrate it through one of these relationships in the Bible. It's a relationship that's very close to my heart, and in preparation I've read through it just to see what are the truths that are in this relationship, this father-son relationship. And of course, the one that I'm speaking about is the relationship between Paul and Timothy. Now, there's the paintings of the two. And a relationship where Paul was a spiritual father to Timothy. And I want to go through their story to show us how we can follow in their footsteps. Because Paul passed on a legacy to Timothy, who passed it on. And just the story of Timothy. Paul was decided to go on his second missionary trip, and he wanted to take someone with. So on the first trip, him and Barnabas went together, but unfortunately they had a little argument. So Paul and Barnabas decided we're not going together anymore. So Paul decided, well, I'm taking Silas with. So they traveled and they came to come to a city called Lystra. And there they meet a very young guy. That we don't quite know how young he was, but they probably in his early 20s. They meet Timothy and in Acts 16, verse 1. And it's interesting here for me how Timothy has a legacy as well. Where Timothy, both his mother and his grandmother were believers. And Paul meets this guy and says, well, okay, come with me. I'm going on this trip. Come with me. And of course, Timothy says yes, and part of that whole story is Paul wants him to get circumcised, so he's circumcised as well to go with. And this journey with Paul starts for Timothy, this young Timothy. And he sees basically the known world. He goes on the second and the third missionary trip with Paul. And Paul adopts this young Timothy as his spiritual son. And Paul decides, well, I am going to pass on my legacy onto this young Timothy. I'm going to invest in him. I'm going to teach him everything I know. But even more than that, and what we will see is, if you read the story, is I want to show him who I am so that he can be just as I am. He wants to show him, he wants to be at that point where it says, like the title of my sermon, like father, like son, that Timothy will be just like Paul. And after all this, Paul's life takes a few weird turns. He gets put into jail a few times. And of course, in the end, their paths split. But what is so beautiful is that Paul has invested so much in Timothy, and he can see certain things in Timothy that he gives him so much responsibility. Because if you read where Timothy goes, he becomes the leader of a few of the churches that Paul planted. He sends him to Corinth, and then he sends him to Ephesus, and in the end, that's where Timothy ends up, is that he becomes the leader of the church in Ephesus, which is not an easy church. It was a big church, but a challenging church. But Paul trusted Timothy and trusted that he had passed on the legacy to Timothy, that Timothy can handle it. And in 1 Corinthians 4, there's a long verse that I want to read. That just illustrates to the point where Paul has passed on this legacy to Timothy. He says, and he's writing to the Corinthians. And the Corinthians, there was a few problems in the church, and he actually sent Timothy there to sort these things out, trusting that Timothy will go and sort these things out. So he writes to the Corinthians, I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach them everywhere in every church. And it's interesting how he writes to the Corinthians to say, well, because if you read the part before that, he's really angry with them, with what's going on in the church. But he says, I don't want to make you ashamed. I'm not disciplining you to make you ashamed, but I'm actually trying to instruct you to the way of success. I want to get you to a point where you have the fullness of what God has for you. And then it's so interesting how he claims that he's their father as well. That because of what he did there, he stands as their spiritual father. And then he goes to a part where he says, you have many guides. Which actually just means that there are many in the church that are like supervisors, that are like managers, that are like instructors, that are just standing there and telling you what to do. Just looking over you, waiting for you to do something wrong. But he says, your church hasn't got many fathers. You haven't got people in the church that are passing down a legacy to their sons. got a lot of instruction, a lot of discipline, but you don't have many people that are passing down a legacy. And then he says, how do you do it? You imitate me. You are like me. Look at me, what I say, what I think, what I feel, what I believe. And be like that. Because I am your spiritual father. Like father, like son. And then there's the most beautiful part for me is, he doesn't go himself to be the father there. He sends Timothy. Because he knows he has imparted his legacy into Timothy. So Timothy going there is just as good as him going there. That Timothy is like Paul. And then he says, but Timothy will show you everything of me because I have imparted that legacy to him. He will show you my ways. He will show you how I am. Look at him. You can even imitate him. And Paul wants to, through Timothy, pass on his legacy so that the Corinthians can believe what he believes about Jesus. That they can think like Christ thinks, because Paul thinks like that. And he wants them to do what he does by spreading the gospel. He wants them to look at Timothy and then become like him as well. And as in 1 Corinthians 11, at the end, he uses a scripture. He says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. As I imitate Christ, so imitate me. As Timothy imitates me, as I imitate Christ, imitate Timothy as well. And so the legacy of Christ is passed on. It's not any legacy that he's passing on, but the legacy of Christ, of who he is and what he has done. And that is discipleship. That is how we make disciples. It's by being fathers to sons. And this morning, the first question that I want to leave with you is, which one are you? Are you a father or are you a son? Are you at the point where you need to now be a father for someone else? Or are you at that point where you say, no, I don't know if I need to be a son. I need to imitate someone as they imitate Christ. I need legacy passed on to me. I want to end the story with the end of Timothy and Paul's story. And if you want to read a beautiful book in the Bible, you must read 2 Timothy. And what makes it beautiful is the context to it. 2 Timothy was probably the last letter written by Paul. Paul was sitting in a prison in Rome, and it seems that he has already gone through a few court cases. But he finds that the end is near. His time is finished. And what makes it beautiful to me is that 2 Timothy is the last letter that the father writes to his son. And if you start reading it as the last words from a father to son, it just becomes so beautiful. And I can just imagine that after Paul's death, and Timothy is still in Ephesus, and he's still struggling because Ephesus has a lot of evil going on. And he needs to lead this church. And he's probably and he's younger than probably a lot of his congregants. And I can just imagine Timothy opening this letter and reading it. Just being inspired by this letter from Paul. Taking courage from it. Taking courage from a father's letter to a son. And I want to read some of the first verses of 2 Timothy, from verse 3 to 7. Just imagine that this context of Paul writing it, his last letter. He says, "I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day, as I remember your tears." And they say this is the tears of their parting, when they parted. "I long to see you, that I might be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control." Just as a side note, I got tears because that's exactly the scripture that was in the card. And here in the start of 2 Timothy, Paul as a father, it's just being a father to a son. He shows that a father is one that prays for his son. Paul always remembers Timothy in his prayers. A father loves the son with everything. You can just hear in these words that there's so much love between these two men. I mean, that was what just hit me, how I asked myself, would I cry if I parted ways with someone? If I parted ways with any of you? Interesting that a father has confidence in the son. He has this feeling that the son will succeed, and he will do everything in his power to see the son succeed. He doesn't shame the son, but he builds up the son. And even if the son messes up, because if you read the letters Paul writes to Timothy, Timothy was quite a scared guy. And he needs to keep on reminding him, "Don't be so scared, Timothy. Don't be so scared, Timothy." But even through that, Paul isn't hard on him. He encourages him. A father recognizes what God placed in the son. He spots it, he encourages it, he builds it, and he will even do it to the point where the son becomes better than the father. Because if you look at Timothy, what he led, where he went, except for the writing of New Testament scripture, he actually did better than what Paul did. Because for the father, it's so important for the son to succeed. An interesting one for me is, the father shares his life. The father is vulnerable before the son. He shares his victories, his testimonies, but he also shares his weaknesses and his failures. This is such a, it's actually a sad part in 2 Timothy. It's 2 Timothy 2, verse 9 to 11. And this is Paul sharing actually his sadness, his heartache of where he finds himself. He says, this is to Timothy, do your best to come to me. For Demas, in love with the present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. At my first offense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. Just Paul sharing with Timothy his heart, his sadness, and just hoping that Timothy, I hope as well with it that Timothy actually went to visit him, his father. And it's so beautiful for me how we can also be that for people. How we can be spiritual fathers. How we can show people who God is. How we can pass down a legacy just like Paul did to Timothy. Because it's interesting how, and I stated earlier how Timothy seems to have been a fearful person. And I went to study what happened to Timothy after the death of Paul. And it seemed that after the death of Paul, there was this radical change in Timothy. There was this boldness in Timothy. Timothy just wanted to take on the world. Instead of standing back, of being timid, he stepped forward in courage, of the encouragement of his father. And unfortunately, his boldness led to his death as well. One day in Ephesus, and I read, apparently he was already 80 years old. There was some other festival going on in Ephesus, and he decided, well, this is probably the best time to preach the gospel. And he stepped out and he started preaching. And the festival goers grabbed him, beat him with sticks, and stoned him to death. And here, in this situation, you can see that from being a scared and timid guy, young man, goes through just a father, Paul, passing on his legacy onto this son. He becomes this bold person and has courage, enough courage to stare death in the face. And that's what I leave with you this morning, is are you giving or receiving legacy at this moment? Or are you just a person on your own? Because it's for me important that legacy and having a spiritual father just takes you so much further, so much quicker. So this morning, I want to ask you to close your eyes. And some of you, I want you to think. Some of you, I know, sitting here and you listen to me talking about my family, talking about talking about my parents, talking about Phyllis' parents and her grandparents, and you sitting here and say, you know what, my parents don't know the Lord. I want you to, and I want to pray for you. Because you know what, is you're the first in the legacy. I want to encourage you to say that 80 years from now, it might be a baby dedication. And someone will read a letter that you sent to your granddaughter. So I want to encourage you and say, if you don't have this legacy, start it. And God will give you the grace to start it. And not just spiritually, but if you're married in your marriage, in all of life, start passing on a legacy. And I know there's some of you sitting in and you have a burning desire to start being a father. Probably some of you physical fathers, but others of you spiritual fathers. And all you have to do is put up your hand and say, God, I want to be a father. I want to be a father. And you know what? God will take you to Lystra. There will be a young man or a young woman. And you just tell them, come with me. Come with me. And then there's some of you that are a Timothy sitting in Lystra. And you have just this burning desire be connected. I have this burning desire for someone to pass on their legacy to you, their Christian legacy, what they know about God, what they believe about God, what they think about God to you. And I want you to see in this story of Paul and Timothy that your Paul will come by. All you have to say is, I'm going. Yes, Heavenly Father, we call you Father. Because just like, Lord, our earthly fathers pass on a legacy, so you as our Heavenly Father pass on a legacy. Yes, Lord, you passed on a legacy to your Son who came to earth. Passed on a legacy to 12 men who passed it on to the world. And Lord, yes, I pray for those, Lord, that they don't have a family legacy, that don't have a family history of serving you, Lord. But you state in your word, Lord, that you will bless into the third and fourth generation, those that serve you, Lord. And I pray that over this people, Lord, these people that are the start of a legacy, Lord, that you will bless their family, Lord, into the third and fourth generation, Lord. Show them a hope for the future. Show them that one day, Lord, that they might have grandchildren and great-grandchildren that serve you because they passed on a legacy. Yes, Lord, and I pray for those, Lord, that have a desire to be a father, Lord. Yes, Lord, I pray for those that are wanting children, Lord. Those that are physically wanting children, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will grant them, Lord, the gift of children. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will not cut off their legacy, Lord, but that you will continue so that they can pass it on into the fourth and fifth generation. Yes, and those that want to be spiritual fathers, Lord, I come, Lord, and that you will connect them to Timothy's, Lord. That you will connect them to people that need encouragement, that need to know what you placed in them. Young men and women that just need to be taken by the hand and have a legacy imparted into them. I pray, Lord, that you will connect people like that, Lord, and that you will connect them, Lord, because there's people in this church, Lord, that are wanting to have spiritual fathers as well. They feel like spiritual orphans, Lord, and yes, you are our Father, Lord, and we are ultimately connected to you. We are sons of you. I pray that you will send to these young men and women, older men and women, that will speak your encouragement, your guidance, and your love, and your prayers over these young people. And yes, Lord, I just come and I thank you for the legacies that you have imparted, Lord. Yes, Lord, I know that in this church, Lord, there are families of people that are serving you right back to fourth and fifth and sixth generations, Lord. And I come as one of them, Lord, and just thank you for that. I pray, Lord, that we can impart that to other people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everybody. If you have any prayer needs, even if it's focused on today's of legacy and wanting to be a father or a son, come, I'll pray with you.